Colossians 1:9, wisdom again. I want to come back to this subject of wisdom. Paul is praying for the Colossian believers that they will have this wisdom, that they'll be filled with this wisdom, this spiritual wisdom. Remember, the Colossians are surrounded by the Gnostics, by the philosophers of the Greek system. Wisdom is in the air. Gnostics, we have this wisdom, this knowledge. Wisdom, the Greek philosophers. This is the culture. This is the sea in which these Colossians are swimming. And Paul prays that they will have spiritual wisdom. It's not the only place where Paul deals with this. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, to chapter 2, verse 16. I could go on, actually, into chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 1 is a major theme in Corinth. Of course, again, another Greek city, another Greek place. And the way Paul speaks of wisdom, both in the Colossian letter and the Corinthian letters, is so important. You see, this was a tremendous pressure for the believers in those days. The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the Greeks, the wisdom of these philosophers, of these Gnostics. What does Paul do about it? Does he adopt this wisdom? He certainly does not. He refutes it. Does he accommodate the gospel to this wisdom? Not at all. He attacks it. Does he compliment these Greeks upon their wisdom? He certainly does not. He confronts them in their culture. Now, I know I have dealt with this in other places. Acts 17. I know I've spoken on 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 before. And I've often referred to these passages. I've produced pieces like Confronting the Cultures and so on. But I feel this so strongly, so passionately, I want to return to it in this short discourse here. Paul does not adopt the culture of the age. He refutes it. He does not accommodate himself to it. He attacks it. He is no compliment for this philosophy system. He confronts it. Let me just read the relevant words and try and put the apostle's tone into the words. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17, Christ sent me to preach the gospel, he said, not with words of human wisdom. Note the negative immediately. Preach the gospel. He could have left it there. No, not with words of human wisdom. Why? Because that will rob the cross of Christ of his power. Now look at that. That's the opening shot. If I adopt the system of the world, if I go into the world's wisdom and the world's culture, I will rob the cross of its power. For the message of the cross, and here he goes, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through his wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Can you hear the tone here? Can you see what Paul is putting into these words? Here are the wise people of the age, their wisdom. Paul is calling it foolishness, and he speaks of the wisdom of God. And he goes on like that. My message and my preaching were not with these wisdom words, not with these schemes of men. In chapter 2 he goes on, I don't want your faith resting in men's wisdom, but on God's power. You see, the world does not know with all its wisdom, its foolishness. And so he powers on. But the central theme is this. It's in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians and verse 30. Christ has become for us wisdom from God And as I've explained before, this is the principal thing, and righteousness and holiness and redemption are certain aspects of it. The great thing is Christ is our wisdom. And what does Paul preach? Not the wisdom of this world, but I am resolved, I am determined, chapter 2, verse 2, to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a lesson for us today. It's Christ, Christ, Christ. He preaches Christ. He would write about Christ. He would produce articles about Christ. He would produce blogs about Christ. He'd be always speaking of Christ, living for Christ. That's the wisdom. That's true wisdom. And it's the cross of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. As he says in the second letter, Christ as Lord. Now, he's not accommodating Christ and the cross to this world. In Acts 17, he calls the wisdom of this world superstitious, irrationality, ignorance. Here he calls it foolishness. What a lesson for us today, my friends. We are surrounded now with men who are telling us that we must trim ourselves, we must accommodate ourselves to the culture around us, the wisdom, the thinking, the schemes of men, and somehow or another slip the gospel in. The apostle would find this anathema, and so do I. We preach Christ and him crucified, and we do it right from the start. And what do we say about the world's wisdom and its philosophies and its systems? Irrational, superstitious, ignorant, foolishness. The very things they say about us. But we preach Christ crucified, Christ as Lord, Christ the wisdom of God. This, brother and sister, is our way. And this is what Paul is praying for the Colossians, to be persuaded of this and to be full of Christ. Christ is all, Colossians 3:11. I've tried to find words to express what I feel here. Samuel Medley helps me, but he doesn't quite get there. Nobody can quite get there. Indeed, he says himself he can't get there. But let me read Samuel Medley's words to you. Oh, could I speak the matchless worth? Oh, could I sound the glories forth, which in my Saviour shine? Unbeliever, if I could do it, I hope it would make you want to come to Christ and know him, if you could only hear and see and feel and taste and enjoy the glories which in my Saviour shine. I'd soar and touch the heavenly strings and vie with Gabriel while he sings in notes almost divine. I'd sing the precious blood he spilt. That's Christ. I'd sing the precious blood he spilt, my ransom from the dreadful guilt of sin and wrath divine. I'd sing his glorious righteousness, in which all perfect heavenly dress my soul shall ever shine. I'd sing the characters he bears, and all the forms of love he wears exalted on his throne. In loftiest songs of sweetest praise, I would to everlasting days make all his glories known. Well, the delightful day will come when my dear Lord will bring me home and I shall see his face. There with my Saviour, brother, friend, a blessed eternity I'll spend, triumphant in his grace. Would Samuel Medley accommodate Christ to the world? Would Paul do it? He did not. Will I do it? I will not. Brother and sister, will you take your stand upon the crucified Christ, the wisdom of God, and know nothing else, and be determined to know nothing else but Jesus Christ as Lord, and him crucified, who is made unto us wisdom, and everything else, righteousness, redemption, everything, holiness, whatever we need, Christ is all. Accommodate Christ to the world? be done with it. Let Christ overcome the world. Lift up the name of Christ. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. May God be glorified, Christ be glorified, may the Spirit glorify Christ by this short discourse, and lead our hearts, brothers and sisters, to worship Christ more and more, love him more and more, and bring any unbeliever listening to it to a trust and submission to, a trust in and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.